Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
What's the danger?
Everybody's freaking out about the Bitcoin price. The drop, as it were.
The drop.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
I don't know. I just think it's going on sale.
Yeah, no, and that's the best way to look at it. I mean, when you're looking at something
that's so high and it keeps going lower, then it's not so good.
Well, you know, that's never fun, but I mean, that's always the lower time frame, right?
Right.
You're not looking at the long-term trend of everything. And so it always makes it difficult. I mean, when you see those big dips and you're not prepared for that, because everybody always thinks, I think a lot of people think that just buying Bitcoin, you're going to get rich instantly, or that it's going to be some sort of fast thing to do. And that's, if you're buying into momentum, sometimes that can happen. I mean, you can definitely make some quick money fast. However, the market is never, I mean, if it were always that easy, everybody would do it. There would be no risk, right?
Exactly.
So Bitcoin kind of tended to drop. I mean, we already knew that the Fed had announced that they were going to look at increasing interest rates this year. And they'd already, like I said, they'd announced that, but then we hadn't seen kind of the market react really to that news yet. I know even within the stock market itself, right before that announcement had come through, the stock markets had even kind of pulled back, right? Waiting to see what the Fed was going to announce, because they didn't know if the Fed was going to try and initiate interest rate hikes right away or if they were going to wait for a little while on it. And so they waited until the minutes actually got printed to where we saw where it was at. And I think that kind of just freaked a lot of people out. But, I mean, understandable. I thought for a while back that we would never see Bitcoin back below 40,000 ever again. I figured that was it after we came out of that dip from the summer.
Yep. So, well, what is it at now? It's about 41?
Current price on TradingView, what I'm looking at right now, price is 41,997.62.
Okay.
So, and I wanted to see. Go ahead. With what you were going to say.
Well, I was just saying that, I mean, it may have its small dips, but I don't think it's really going to plunge into the $30,000 realm.
No.
I mean, granted, I could be wrong, but I'm just, I think it's going to be sideways for quite a while. There's just so much volatility in the markets. Everyone knows that the economy's going to crap. We're just kind of waiting for the moment the shoe drops, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so and I think that's part of the reason I'm kind of bullish on Bitcoin. I mean, we're only 10 days into 2022, but I think this year, well, I don't know if I'm necessarily more bullish on Bitcoin, but I'm definitely bearish on our economy.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And I think if something really goes haywire, and I think just the whole economy is one giant bubble anymore. It's not just the housing market. It's not just real estate. It's not just, I mean, it's everything. The bond market. So if something really does happen going forward, I really do believe that one of the safe havens will be Bitcoin. I think another safe haven will be, you know, gold and silver, the traditional metals, and then lead.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are panicking because basically we are starting off 2022 at the same spot we started 2021, right? So, I mean, if you look at that, a snapshot from, you know, January 10th, 2021 to January 10th, 2022, it's null set, which, I mean, for the store.
Zero progress.
Yeah, well, for the store of value standpoint, that's exactly what you want, right?
Yeah.
It hasn't lost. It hasn't gained. It was just blip right there.
Right there.
Ratnaradharma. We still haven't seen the lows that we saw over the summer. You know, going from basically May into June, where we saw those big dips, and then we started to see the rise back out. But there's a lot going on. I mean, when the Fed talks about, and let's be honest here, I mean, even if the Fed does raise interest rates, I mean, they're near zero right now. If they do decide to raise them, they're not going to raise them like 3%. It'll be like
they're not even going to do a whole percent.
It'll be incremental. Like,
yeah, fractions of a percent. So, and granted, I still think that's enough to derail our crappy economy, though.
No, for sure. And I think what's going to happen is, I mean, when they do that, the equities markets, you know, your stocks and everything, those are going to just tumble because everything that they've been doing, they've been able to buy their stock back for basically for free because they've been getting inflows from the Federal Reserve, you know, as they're buying up stocks and bonds on the back end, you know, that they're going to taper some of that spending. And so, you know, what's been propping up the market this whole time is going to go away. And it's not going to completely go away. I mean, like we said, you know, they're going to taper it. It's not going to be this big drastic draw where they're going to just raise interest rates. I mean, unless they go completely kamikaze right out the gate. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Yes. I mean, I think you're right. I just look at the whole economy as just a house of cards from the supply chain, just everything. I have zero confidence in any of it. Yeah. I didn't even have great confidence in it when Trump was in office and he was claiming it was the greatest economy ever. But it is noticeably worse in the beginning of 2022.
Yeah.
I guess that's what just leads to my pessimism as far as the general economy. You know, the markets in general, I mean, they're all overvalued. I really do think if things go take a turn for the worst, I mean, having gold and silver and Bitcoin is probably the way to go.
Yeah, the GSB saving or buying.
Yep. And if you listen to Michael Saylor, it's BGS, right?
Yeah. No, he totally. I mean, and so here's the thing, right? Like, the problem with the gold market is that they still control so much of that. That's yep. where we always get those issues that happen with it. And that goes back to the centralization of it. And that's why he's so pro on Bitcoin, right?
Well, I have to agree with him. I mean, even if you, let's say for whatever reason you had to flee where you're at, you could actually go somewhere and take your Bitcoin with you. Whereas if you have, you know, just even a few coins, you know, a few ounces of gold, getting it across somewhere as you're fleeing is not optimal.
Yeah, if you can memorize your seed phrase, really, you can take your Bitcoin with you in your head anywhere. And that alone, I mean, January 3rd is always known as Proof of Keys Day, which we had done a podcast that day that was, you know, the kind of the birth of the Genesis block and everything else. And so Proof of Keys Day is always a big deal, right? Like, I mean, if it's not your coin or if it's not your keys, it's not your crypto. If you know, if you have all your coins sitting on Gemini or Coinbase or Binance, and there's some sort of massive freeze that takes place with those, you're not going to be able to pull those off. But if you do your own self-custody, then you can.
Yep.
And that's a big deal, I think. But I mean, I do keep some on an exchange just in case I need access to liquidity fast. If I want some cash, I want to be able to get to it. And so I do keep some on an exchange, but vast majority of it is on private, you know, my private custody that I lost in a fishing accident not too long ago. And I don't memorize.
So sad.
I know.
And your gun collection.
And my gun collection. Yeah, it all went away all at the same time. It was a horrible day. That's what I get for horrible. Drinking and boating. You had sent me a video today too from Raul Powell that I thought was pretty good. What did you what did you take on his comments?
You know, I don't know what to think about it. I mean, in the history of Bitcoin, I mean, he was kind of comparing it to Amazon stock and how it had all the ebbs and flows, but over the, you know, long-term horizon, it really just had a steep trajectory going up. And that's the one thing about Bitcoin. I mean, if this really can take off, I mean, the sky's the limit. in value. And, you know, it's just the way it's set up. I mean, I think it'll be valuable for over 100 years. I mean, how long is it really expected to go? I mean, the last coins are going to be mined in what?
2140.
So yeah. Another 120 years. But I don't know. As crazy as it sounds, I mean, Amazon's kind of come in and become their own monster now. But we used to, well, it's not we. In history, people were looking at Sears as if they were some giant powerhouse that was going to be just a monopoly that controlled everything forever. And now Sears is pretty much gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, when you look in, you can still find some of those old Sears Roebuck catalogs. It was probably just Sears at the time. They may not have had Roebuck involved yet. You know, but, you know, from the pioneer days in a way, I don't know how you want to put it, like late 1800s. You know, you could get people that were ordering stuff through the catalog, and it was being delivered by train, and that was probably revolutionary for the time, right?
Exactly.
You could get these goods spread out all over, and I mean, Amazon really just kind of took that whole model and just adapted it to the digital era.
Exactly. And Sears did not, and they're pretty much gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's look at Kodak, right? They invented the digital camera, and what's the one thing they did not capitalize on?
A digital camera, and they ate them alive.
Yeah, and it was their invention. It's like, how... idiotic can you be? I mean, but that's the problem with, you know, the foresight, right? It's always hard to judge, and that's one of the big things, too, because we did kind of talk about that in the last episode, is that, is Bitcoin always going to be the king, the number one crypto? It's obviously at this point it can be replicated pretty easily, as there's like 5,000 different cryptos out there. Some of them are just direct knockoffs of Bitcoin. So, I mean, there's always the possibility that you have room for another juggernaut to enter the space and take it out. However, there's just things around Bitcoin's creation that have allowed it to kind of, I guess, emulsify and become what it is today. It may not always be that way. Now, that also depends on whether or not we go on to Bitcoin standard globally, right?
Yep.
I think they've announced three other countries. Well, they haven't announced it, but they're expecting three other countries to get into Bitcoin as a standard this year, following in the footsteps of El Salvador. And I want to say one of them was Argentina. Was it Paraguay? And
well, those countries have had pretty serious currency issues.
Yeah, well, so when you look at El Salvador, right, like they were on a dollar standard. And then when the U.S. Fed started printing money like crazy, they can't do anything. They can't print more money on their own. They can't help their citizens. All they do is sit there and suffer at the hands of the Fed when that money printer goes on, right? They can't do anything about it. So with Bitcoin, it gave them kind of a power play, an option to do something different. And, you know, we're seeing that with the volcano bonds that they're going to issue. And I mean, I think it's a pretty smart move on their part. I do.
Now, like you said, I mean, most people just have to sit and take it, but Bitcoin is kind of just another option. You know, it's an escape.
You totally get to opt out. It's a lot of people were starting to call it the life raft, right? Like you don't trust the current system. Guess what? There's another one out there. It may not be as big, not yet, but give it time. I mean, it's grown leaps and bounds. And that's the other thing, like with that interview that you posted with Raul Powell was, you know, he's just talking about the network effect of Bitcoin. And we may not have that. It's cheaper than where it should be based on that Metcalfe's law. But it's still coming. It's going to have to catch up.
Well, like I said, it just means it's on sale.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was looking at Will Clement's blockchain analysis or Bitcoin analysis, basically, for 2021 and kind of the dip that had taken place. And he was talking about the open interest, right? And he was saying, you know, everybody always asks him whenever open interest is super high, you know, what direction does that mean it's where it's going to go? Because the open interest basically is the leveraging, right, that's on the market. He's like, where's it going to go? Is it positive or negative? And he's like, well, that's not how that works. Because when you see open interest high, there's always a short to the long. Like, it's always balanced. So it's hard to tell exactly where that's going to go whenever you're looking at the raw data. And so we had this giant flush that took place. But the open interest is still super high. And he's like, that is so weird. So he started buying. He's like, if the open interest is still so high, the exchange balances are lower than they've been in years. He's like, that shock to stock, the shock effect is going to take place.
Yeah, because it's basically going to run into, everyone's out of Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, and what's going to happen that demand exactly. Wall, right?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's just going to jump insanely at that point when people realize that Bitcoin is basically out of stock wherever you want to get.
Yeah.
My question is I just don't know how this is able to happen. You know what I mean? If the inventories are getting lower and lower, how come the price is still just static or at least decreasing? It's not going up. I think there's some type of ebb and flow that's not making sense to me.
Yeah, well, no, and I agree. And I think a big part of it, number one, is I think retail isn't there because they would mop up a lot of that supply. And supply shock, that was the term I was looking for earlier. They would mop up a lot of that supply, and the retail buzz isn't there. The FOMO is not there yet. And it's not going to get there until we see, we're going to have to see a massive rise, really, because it's not even going to be 53,000 that'll do it. We've got to break above 69,000 and get sustainably above 69,000 into the $70,000, $75,000 range when that supply shock is going to happen. That's my opinion anyways.
Okay.
But what does it take to get there? I don't know. Because, I mean, there's, like you said, there's a lot of things at play in that environment that are very odd. Some of it is, we had investment. We wanted investment bankers to come. We got investment bankers now that came into the market. And I'm not saying you necessarily, but the Bitcoin space as a whole wanted that to take place. They're here now. They're not stupid. And they know, like, if they need to make their balance sheets look good, especially because we just ended 2021, they were going to sell whatever to make sure their cash flows looked legit, awesome. They turned a profit, right? But then the other aspect of that, though, too, is that, and I've talked to you about this before, I think if you have the ability and you feel like you may have missed the boat and you could call the boat back, would you do it?
All day, every day.
Yeah, and people you and I, we can't call the boat back, but there are people out there that can.
There's big enough whales that they can move that much water.
Yeah, so basically what they do is they put a short in on the futures, right? And then they load up a bunch of Bitcoin on an exchange looking like it's going to sell. Everybody panics, sells theirs. They fulfill their short on the future side, take that capital, put it back into the Bitcoin that they just dropped the price on super cheap. And they can wash, rinse, and repeat. And we've seen Michael Saylor, he can buy massive amounts without moving the market.
Yep.
And that's what's eating up that supply. But that demand has got to outstrip that. And then that's where those fireworks start. I don't know. I'm excited to see what this year's going to bring. I think it's going to be a shitstorm financially in the economic speak. But I am excited for what this year's going to hold.
Yes, I would say it's going to be fireworks, but it's going to be more like artillery shells and all that good stuff. Not so fun to see, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
If you survive it.
For sure, for sure. Real quick, is there any coins that you would recommend anybody else buying aside Bitcoin?
The only other one I have is Ethereum.
Okay.
That's it.
I think maybe next episode, let's dive a little bit more into the altcoins. We talked about that last time.
Yep. And something else I want to do is kind of talk about some of our predictions, go back and mark them down, and then either celebrate when we're amazing or just laugh at ourselves when we look stupid. So yeah. It'll be fun.
I'm bad with predictions, man. I get so excited. I'm permeable, man. I'm horrible. Horrible.
That's why we got to slow your horses down just a little bit.
I know. Anything else you wanted to add to this?
I think I'm done, man.
Cool. Yeah. I honestly, my only parting thing is just if you feel like if this market dump has got like makes you feel uneasy and gives you tummy troubles, you probably need to get rid of some Bitcoin because you're too exposed. That's because I've been there before. I've been there where it was just like, ooh, man, oh. But, I mean, maybe you get used to it. I don't know. Maybe that just comes with time of being in the market for a while. But if that's the case, then you're probably overexposed. You probably need to liquidate some anyways then just hold a position. But
and if you have some spare change, I mean, nothing too crazy. Obviously, you don't want to get your tummy in a tussle when prices go crazy. But, you know, just we're not financial advice, obviously, as said, stated in the intro. But maybe you can pick up just, you know, a few shekels of Bitcoin. A few, what is it, Satoshis?
A few Satoshis. Stack some sats.
That's right.
Take it to the bank.
The Bitcoin bank.
Bye, guys.